We will look in our textbook on page number 164. And we will look in our Bibles in Deuteronomy. Looks like maybe they have the scriptures here on the page. So maybe we'll save our thumb-burning calories for some other activity. All right, so we're going to talk today about astrology and the Bible. The Bible and astrology. What does Scripture say about astrology? Yes. So we've already discussed to some degree Mormonism. We spent almost a month on that, and here we are dealing with astrology. Astrology has this idea where you have, again, just a review, this over the universe, really it's over our solar system. The universe is kind of generous. I mean, all the universe that's below the solar system from the overhead view, yes. And there is a lot below it. But in any case, here are the 12 houses. Remember, every one of them is named after a sign typically found within those houses, but not always. And that is why it is so involved. You might notice here in particular the fish. Does anyone know how to pronounce that? Pisces, good. And one tangible factor that Luther and Melanchthon disagreed on, this is on Luther's biography, Here I Stand by Roland Bainton. He says that Melanchthon dabbled in astrology, but Luther never did. Astrological speculation may well explain why so many peasant uprisings coincided in the fall of 1524 and the spring of 1525. Remember, the peasant uprisings, just to reacquaint you, if you don't know anything about that era of history, which I highly doubt with your skilled historical history teachers here, is basically after the plagues of Europe, the working class was, decimated. And so when you found people that could work, there were so few of them that the upper class wasn't going to do their job. The lower class was going to work, and they increased the wages. Well, that was just really upsetting the higher class because they couldn't believe that the lower class is basically holding them hostage. There's fewer workers, so they charged more salary, right? And then the kings of the day decided, no, you have to take the pre-plague wages and you have to take them now. Well, that caused peasant uprisings all the time. There's another one-word difference, right? What's a pheasant? It's a bird. A peasant, on the other hand, is someone who does not own any land. And so there again, one letter difference between the words, and we have lots of games and jokes, right? So it was in the year 1524 that all the planets were in the constellation of the fish, Pisces. And so when you have all the constellations of the fish, look at this now. This had been foreseen 20 years previously. And great disturbances had been predicted for that year. All right, now think about this. For 20 years, people are predicting great disturbances because of all the planets being in this constellation. All right, the constellation which may not have been in that house, right? But in the constellation of Pisces, all the planets, when we say all, we mean all except Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. Right. All those were here. And so for 20 years, they're saying there's going to be horrible, horrible things that happen in 1524. Well, after hearing that for 20 years, what do you suspect you're going to find?
Something happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You're going to probably find what you're looking for. So in the year 1523, 1 year prior, as many as 51 tracts were produced on the subject. The peasants with their banners and flails watched on one side of 1524, and the emperor, the pope, and the church leaders watched from the other side to see what would happen. Well, if you're expecting it for 20 years, imagine some of you 17-year-olds in here. Imagine that between now and the time you're 37, you hear something horrible is going to happen in your 37th year, and you are in the working class, and something horrible is going to happen, and it's because all the planets are in a particular sign. And in the year prior, you're 36 years old, and 51 people write a tract. You know what a tract is? It's like a pamphlet. It's like a gospel tract out there by the door, except it's not on the gospel. It's on the horrible thing that's going to happen in 1524 because of astrology. Well, what do you think you're what do you think is going to happen? We call it self-fulfilling. Anyone know the word?
Prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. We expect something to happen. Man, I feel like something's going to happen. Man, I'm pretty fed up with this junk anyway. I can't believe I'm being underpaid. I'm worth much. And before you know it, you have people, what happens in 1524? A massive peasant uprising. Not a pheasant uprising. We didn't have any birds taking over barns. A peasant uprising. All right, and so what happens? Well, they have this horrible thing. So you can step back, like we said yesterday, why do people believe in it? Well, because it works. Sort of. Remember, they sent this idea, this astrological profile out to 100 different people, told them each that they had their own individual horoscope sent to them, and a majority sent back and said, man, this is just right on, when it couldn't possibly be right on for 100 different scenarios. See that? So, again, like we closed out yesterday, is some of this demonic in its nature and its fulfillment? Sure. Is some of it self-fulfilling prophecy? Probably. And we found that to be true in a lot of different things. If you take a class that you've been told that's a trouble class, and it gets back to them that everyone thinks they're a trouble class, there's a strong possibility they're going to start acting like the trouble class. We've seen it in a lot of dispositions, a lot of situations. So anyway, I just wanted you to know that that is not new. So today, we're going to talk about the Bible and astrology. You can see it on page 164 and 165 of the Handbook of Today's Religions by Josh McDowell, copyright 1983. And we're starting to pick up the Bible and astrology. Who will be the first to read? Jake?
You are weary with your many counsels, but now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moon, stand up and save you from what will come unto you. Behold, they have become like stubble, fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There is none to save them.
All right, so the Bible warns people against relying on astrologers. It says in Isaiah 47, the scripture that Jake just read, that the astrologers and those who prophesy by the stars and the moon and the sun and all that, they will actually be devoured like fire. They'll be devoured like stubble from fire. So God doesn't have a good opinion of astrologers, at least in Isaiah 47. And if a person comes away saying, I'm a Bible believer, and I don't believe God cares if I play around with astrology, at least be willing to admit that you're either deciding that God doesn't mean what he says here, or that he changed at some point about what he thinks. And if you're going to say that God changed his mind about astrology after Isaiah 47, you better have a very good reason. Because that's pretty prevalent in society today. What are some other things that Old Testament talks about where everyone is just convinced God has changed his mind? Or maybe God was speaking to a particular context. Yeah, sure, homosexuality, yeah. See, and that's probably the most notable one, which is why that's the first thing that popped in your mind. All right, next paragraph, other warnings. Go ahead, Dylan.
Other warnings can be found in such verses as Jeremiah 10:2. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Elsewhere, the scripture says, and beware, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and all the stars, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them.
So there again, don't become an idolater. Don't start. And look, probably a lot of people who are astrologers wouldn't see themselves as indicted by the scripture. We mentioned it in passing yesterday. Why would they not see themselves as idolaters?
Because God put them there
to you? It's not exactly what I'm after there. What do they not believe in when it comes to God? This is a subtopic of what religion?
Hinduism.
That's right. And what does Hinduism not believe in? They believe in lots of gods. They don't believe in something in particular. They don't believe in a personal God. They believe that the universal God displays himself in 300 million or more God-likenesses, but that there is no person in charge of everything. There's only a force in charge. So a lot of astrologers that come from the New Age movement, that come from Hinduism, a lot of them would not see themselves as idolaters. We don't worship the stars. Well, the truth is, if worship is defined as you addressing a deity, then okay, I'll let you get by on that. But if worship is defined as adoration or devotion to something, then I think you can see that astrology is idolatry. If you're relying on something like you would rely on God, think of that. Think about that. We're required to worship God. If trust or faith is not a component of worship, then an astrologer can get away with saying they're not idolaters. But if faith is a component of worship, then there's no way that an astrologer can say that they are not idolaters. Next paragraph. Okay, Zach.
The book of Daniel gives us a comparison between the astrologers and those dedicated to the true and living God. Chapter 120 reveals that Daniel and his three friends would be 10 times better in matters of wisdom and understanding than the astrologers because they served the living and true God rather than the stars. When the king had a dream, the astrologers could not give an explanation for it, for rather God alone had the answer. For it is only he who can reveal the future. See Daniel 2:27-28.
All right, so clearly the author here is making reference to the Old Testament prophet Daniel. In his mind, and I think he's correct, he's saying that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had a lot going against them. I mentioned two Wednesday nights ago, they were probably physically altered. If you don't know what I mean by that, you probably should give some thought to the word eunuch. Okay? Two Wednesday nights ago, we talked about how the children, the young men of Judah, were promised that they would be made eunuchs to serve in the king in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. So here we are in Daniel 1 and 2, and you have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, who are serving in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. If those prophecies mean anything, then they mean that those men were probably made eunuchs. So, one moment. All right, so we have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel found to be 10 times better than the astrologers in Babylon because they could get the future from God. Okay. Look at the next page, page 165. We're looking at the second paragraph. There can be. Someone begin reading there. All right, Kyrie.
There can be the loss of money, both of what you may spend on astrology and what the astrologers may recommend for you to do. They may also recommend you to invest now, buy later, don't purchase this, or etc. These recommended investments are no more certain than fortune cookies, and you could suffer considerable financial loss.
All right, next paragraph for the last of the reading. We'll take this one. All right, Kenny.
Second, a person who continually tries to live his life by a horoscope can become very depressed as he begins to see life as a fatalistic, predetermined since birth, with no opportunity to break free. Women have even refused the medical advice of induced labor for a late pregnancy in order to have their baby born later, so as to be an Aquarius, for example.
All right, so you want your child to have a certain future, and you know it's based on when he or she is born. Well, then some women have actually delivered a baby weeks late so that they could have the proper sign and have a good future. Well, that's troublesome.
And painful.
Probably. I've never carried a child to term, but I'll bet you're right, or beyond for that matter. In fact, I don't think I've ever carried a child at all in utero. So, yeah. So in any case, I trust that you will see that there are not only fallacies like we discussed yesterday, but there are actually dangers. Now, what is something that you could ask? What is a skillful thing that you could engage someone who is joking about their sign? What is a way you can show concern and try to get to the point where you can share the gospel with them?
Ask them if their sign contradicts God.
Say again, please.
Ask them if their sign contradicts God.
Yeah, I think that's true. Maybe there's a question before that, Kyrie.
I'd ask him exactly how many of these horoscopes actually come true for you.
Yeah, and then maybe you should ask for examples, right?
Yeah,
because if it's real general, there's someone in here with a face. Okay, that's a little general, right? We want to get real specific. That's how a lot of those televangelists wax eloquent. Go ahead, Zach.
I was going to say, how has the life that you've actually lived lined up with the
Okay. Okay, so, yeah. Have you found it to be fulfilled in your life? Probably a real good first question is, are you serious? I mean, I really want to know, is this something that's just kind of like a yin-yang sign around your neck? I mean, are you just playing? Or is this something you really ascribe to? So, in any case, you know, is this like the gold cross for an American Christian? Is it just something you just part of your culture, or do you really believe in it? Okay. Any other questions? Okay.